Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And Wyatt is here with us today. Well, we've got a really interesting show. We've actually got somebody who's going to be joining us later on who is in the rescue community and has a unique perspective on it because she gets to see the befores, the afters, and the durings. And she's going to give us some advice on how to keep our pets healthy and happy, and also giving us a little bit of an idea about what dogs need based on what area of the country they're in. So we're going to join her in just a little bit. But everybody wants to know some training tips, so we're going to have some awesome training tips. The weather is getting cold. Remember, some of the areas in this country are already getting snowflakes. That's scary. But if you do have snow, remember, your pet's feet can be very, very sensitive to the salt and the other things that are used on the ground, even sometimes sand. So it's a really good idea, especially if you have a dog that has a lot of hair up in there in the pads, to make sure when you come in from a walk, not so much in your yard with the snow, although you want to check for lumps and bumps of snow, but even in this weather where there are a lot of leaves and things, there are all kinds of different ingredients that were used on lawns and leaves and trees, and there could be poisons that people put down to kill different growth and vegetation. Make sure you clean the pads and the paws of your wonderful little pet. I don't know so much about cats. I can probably ask our guests later on about that. But certainly your dogs, when they come in, you should be cleaning up and making sure that their feet are clean and free of debris when they come in. Not only to keep your floors clean, folks, but more importantly, to make sure that your pets don't have anything growing up in there or getting up in there where they can get an abscess. So, we've got another training tip. Training tip for the day. Very, very important when you're training your dog to become a service dog. Work on behavior first. Don't focus on making the dog sit and making him lie down and ordering him around. First thing is get him really comfortable with his surroundings. The more comfortable your dog is, wherever your dog is, whether it's in your home or in a car or in a mall or in the pet store, make sure that you focus first. What I call it, the happy, happy, joy, joy. It's a great place. Everything is wonderful. Everybody is nice. That doesn't mean you have to allow everyone to touch the dog, but it does mean that you want your dog to be first socialized properly without a lot of rules. Just imagine if you have your dog and you're starting to teach your dog something and he's kind of too young for it. Let's say he's in the local pet store and you're trying to teach him and you're saying, sit, 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 and something loud bangs behind him or falls down. He's going to start associating the word sit with danger, with something falling down, potentially. And also, people, expose your dog as soon as you get him, whether it's a puppy or an adult, to all kinds of people. People of different races, people of different sizes, different shapes, different locations, maybe having a hat or a beard, and try to get them really used to having very, like, happy, happy, joy, joy. Everybody there, everybody in the world is nice. Everybody in the world is there to help them. So when you're taking your dog out into a location and you're trying to get your dog used to things, what do you do if your dog is afraid of something or if it grumbles or growls at something? Well, you're not going to remove the dog from the situation because then you're going to either teach the dog that he should be taking care of you because, oh, you're so bad, I'm going to have to take you away from this place. Or that if your dog says, hey, I'm the leader, I'm going to growl at you, he's telling you that he's in charge. That doesn't mean he's never going to be a good dog for a therapy or service dog, depending on the age of the dog. Now, if the dog snaps at somebody, for us, at Merlin's Kids, and United Canine Professionals. One snap knocks them out of our program. We are fearlessly careful with this. It's very, very important because we are dealing with special needs human beings, mostly children. And the last thing we want to do is when a dog becomes fearful is have a dog who might snap. Well, what do you do if you have your dog and he does snap at someone? Well, you're not going to give the dog away. You're going to correct the dog. You're going to teach the dog in that moment not to do that, and then you're going to continue on doing what you were doing. I've always said, and everybody loves this analogy, if you went to the movies and a child behind you was yakking on the cell phone and you couldn't even pay attention to the movie, so you couldn't see Leonardo DiCaprio kissing Kate Winslet for like the 800th time you've seen the movie, well, you want the child behind you to be quiet. You're not looking to get into a lifelong friendship with this person. You're not looking to have this child hate you. You're not looking to have this child spill his soda down your back. You're just wanting this child in that moment to stop doing that behavior. You would turn around like all of us have done, I'm sure, at the movies, and we would say, shh, S-H-H-H. Like I always say, shh happens. It's actually the name of my new book. So if we talk to the dog and we, oh, honey, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be afraid. Keep being afraid when I take you out into public. Well, oh, well, that's not what I meant. I didn't want the dog to keep being afraid. I was telling him that it was okay that I was taking care of him. But guess what? That's not what your dog hears. Remember, we always say, think like a dog. If you think like a dog, it makes sense. If you're telling your dog in that moment, hey, it's okay. Well, as a human, we would hear, oh, it's okay, don't worry, you're fine. But for a dog, all it hears is, it's okay to keep continuing whatever state of mind you were in at that moment. Now, go back to the movie theater example for a moment. Now, just imagine we're in a movie theater and you shush the kids behind you and you turn and you say, shh, and then you stare at them. Do you think you're going to ever watch that movie? Do you think you're not going to get into some kind of altercation or at least having words with this child? And don't you think this child is conceivably going to be perhaps telling mommy, hey, that person behind, in front of me was being really mean and staring at me. Oh, that's a good one in a movie theater. So it's very important for us to just go back to what we were doing. Go back to what we were doing, because going back to what we were doing shows the dog that we're not afraid and that we're okay with it. Well, if we're okay with it and we're his leader, then obviously he should be okay with it. Now, if the dog is fearful of something and runs from it, you're going to just turn as if there were a sale on golf bags or golf clubs or Fendi bags or Coach or whatever it is that floats your boat. You're going to turn towards that for just a moment, not for a long time, just for a moment, and then you're going to go right back, but don't look at the dog. Don't stare at the dog. You don't want to focus on the dog. You want to go. The dog is with you. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, and then we're going to bring our awesome guest who's from Georgia and is going to help us to understand more about how to take care of our dogs properly. Definitely don't tune out. Stay tuned for the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were just speaking about being in a movie theater and trying to kind of equate what a dog feels about energy with what we have in a movie theater. If you go back right away to the thing that the dog was afraid of, not looking at him, you go towards it. You don't want to have a situation where your dog feels that, like in the Superman movie where Lois Lane was plummeting down from the building and Superman scooped her up and he said, "Don't worry, I've got you." And she looked down and she said, "You've got me? Who's got you?" Well, think about that as you chuckle and remember the wonderful Christopher Reeve. Now, imagine if Christopher Reeve weren't flying, but he were focusing on what Lois Lane was doing. They would have both fallen out of the sky, and there wouldn't be much of a movie left. The key is that you have to live your life, and the dog will fit into your life. Otherwise, your dog is going to actually be dictating what you do, and that makes him the leader. So, enough of our training tip, because I can't wait to get to our guest. She is a young lady who is actually joining United Canine Professionals this fall, and she's a dynamo. She is a vet tech. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about herself. She's been involved with rescue dogs and saving the lives of really, really desperate animals. And she's nothing short of a hero. She's one of those people who we all know exists, but we don't get to say hi to, and we don't get to acknowledge. But I want to acknowledge Erin today, and I want Erin to be able to teach everybody here about taking care of your dogs properly. And, you know, if you've got to give your dog up for whatever reason and you can't make it, please do it the right way. Erin, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, guys. How are you guys today?
We are awesome. Wyatt's always great, and his tail's always wagging. So, of course, how can you have a bad day when there's a wagging tail in it? So, Erin, I've really been fascinated by a lot of the shelters down south, because I'm up north, and certainly I travel, and I've worked with a couple of hundred shelters throughout the country. But I don't think people in the Northeast and in California and in certain other areas really understand the situation in the shelters and what you get in your vet clinic compared to what we get. What do you think the biggest problem is that you see in the southern dogs versus the northern dogs?
I think diseases here are more rampant, like your parvoviruses, your heartworm diseases, your upper respiratory infections, because it just doesn't get cold here to kill anything. So all of your viruses and all of your bugs, all of your insects, they never go away. And so when you put a lot of dogs into the humane societies or the shelters down here, most of them end up sick, unfortunately. I'd say probably 60 to 70% of our dogs that come out of shelters all have heartworms. most of them, very rarely do we get one that doesn't have an upper respiratory infection that takes at least a week to get rid of. Many of them take longer than that, and we never stop seeing parvo cases, which a lot of other places around the country quit seeing them, you know, during the winter and the end of the fall, and we see them all year round.
Wow, and is the intensity and the severity, it sounds like, you know, 60 to 70% of dogs getting, you know, upper respiratory. I mean, I think in all the years I've been breeding Rhodesian Ridgebacks and rescuing upward of 30 years now, I mean, I probably had two upper respiratory infections ever in 30 years with all the dogs I have and deal with and, you know, show with. Why do you think that is? Is it just from the close quarters and the temperature? Or do you think maybe people don't treat dogs the same as they do maybe up here in the Northeast?
I think it's a mixture of the two. I think definitely our weather, you know, allows the diseases and the bacteria and the viruses to spread more rapidly. I also think that dogs are treated, dogs that end up in a pound aren't given the head start that dogs that are personally owned do. Like, I have a little dog that goes to work with me every day. He's been exposed to all of these diseases and with all these rescue dogs, and he's never been sick a day in his life. But he gets the best nutrition, he gets the best medical care, he's been fully vaccinated. You know, he gets the care that these guys are lacking, unfortunately. We get a lot of malnutrition cases because they're just, even though you can tell they're not emaciated, they just have been probably not been fed the best quality food. So they're not given a very good start at life, unfortunately.
Wow. And, you know, we talk about that not only on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog here on Tuesday nights, but we also talk about this for the love of dog on Friday nights about nutrition. That it is just so important because even like with a human, if, you know, you've got good nutrition starting out, and I see that, I believe that a lot of the problem is that the puppies don't receive the colostrum or the mother's milk early on, and they have to receive it the first 24 hours, actually the first 12 hours after the first puppy is born, the mama dog starts producing the colostrum pretty much immediately if you're a normal pregnancy and normal delivery. And as soon as the oxytocin is produced and now the first puppy starts to nurse, more of that colostrum is produced. Well, it's really readily absorbable through big open pores in the intestines through the first 12 hours. And somewhere between 12 hours and 24 hours, the colostrum isn't as absorbed because the little pores in the intestines are starting to close up. So by about 24 hours, roughly, after the first puppy is born, they're no longer able to absorb it. So if the puppy is born, let's say, number 10 or 11 or 12 in a large litter, even if the others pass on, there's not as much nutrition. And I really believe that that's got a lot to do with it. It seems like you said, the privately owned dogs seem to be in better health, possibly because of the breeding, but also possibly because the mama had nutrition and shots and the proper care. Am I right in that?
Right. And that's all a wonderful, valid point, but they also get the maternal antibodies from the mom and the colostrum. And that's really, really important to give you a step up in life so that you have the ability to fight off those diseases should you come in contact with them. For some reason, you know, down here in Fayetteville, we see a lot of rescues from Clayton County. We see a lot of pit bulls and a lot of pit bull mixes who, unfortunately, are, for some reason, predisposed to parvo. And if they don't get that colostrum like you were talking about, they really are starting behind the eight ball.
Yeah, it's just such a shame.
And they tend to get really very sick.
Yeah. Now, if you have a litter, what's your parvo average right now? Like, if you have a litter of, let's say, eight puppies who have parvo, I know, you know, it depends on how early or late it is, but unfortunately, that's a horrible disease. How many of a litter might be strong enough to make it out of, let's say, a litter of eight?
We always tell people that you're going to have a 50-50 shot. If you hospitalize them, put them on IV fluids, put them on IV medications to help with the gastroenteritis, which is basically just a swollen GI system, the vomiting, and basically keeping them hydrated, you're looking at a 50-50 shot. We are finding that our odds are getting better and better the sooner we can get involved. We've had some puppies that end up leaving in 24 hours. I've also had other puppies that I've been hospitalized for 10 days and they still pass away. It really does come down to a case-by-case situation. I've dealt with entire litters of puppies that have had parvo. I had one litter here about 2 weeks ago. All of them went home. It was a litter of three. All of them were caught within 24 hours. They went home 48 hours later.
Wow. So, again, early prevention. Yeah, we hear that with humans as well, early prevention. We are going to be right back with another segment. Definitely stay tuned. We're going to ask Erin Moore about all of her experience and hopefully have her help us out with preventing diseases in puppies. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Today's guest, I want to get right back and learn all these wonderful things from Erin Moore, who is kind enough to be joining us actually from her vet clinic today. Erin, welcome back, and we want to really pick your brain on these things.
Sure.
We up in the Northeast are probably a little bit overdone with our pets. We dress them up. We, maybe do a little too much, but that's because they deserve it. Not that they deserve to be dressed up, but they deserve the best. What do you think are the main things, the differences, why, Clayton County and all the different counties down there really seem to have just a huge rate of not even owner surrenders, but like abandonment issues. I mean, am I crazy or is it like nuts down there where people just don't even bring the dogs in?
It is definitely crazy. Yeah, crazy is a good way of putting it. My family's from New York, so dealing with up New York dogs and then coming down here, I do believe that many of the dogs, because of the brutal winters, have made it inside up north. Many of your dogs down here are still just that. They're dogs. They live outside. They're a dime a dozen. You have a lot of good old farm boys still that live down here that don't believe that the dog should be in the home. Well, I, like myself, like you, my dogs sleep in the bed with me. So I think the
way
perception
it should be.
Of what?
See
what?
That's the way it should be. I mean,
right.
You ever remember? You're too young to remember, but my brother loved this group called Three Dog Night, and I never understood what Three Dog Night meant until we had the blackout a couple years ago up here during the hurricane, and it was freezing cold, and I joked. I said, it's going to be a five-dog night with no heat, and I said, now I understand where that phrase came from. But in Georgia, it doesn't seem, is it, an actual relationship issue, or is it more of just a responsibility issue?
My take on it is, with the relationship comes the responsibility. So the more of a relationship you have with your dog, you know, a lot of people still like to just keep their dogs outside. They stay in the fence and backyard. They stay tied to the tree, whatever. They don't come in the house. So there's a very small relationship there. As opposed to people who bring the dogs inside and they teach them how to behave and they're part of the family, the relationship builds, as does the responsibility. But more so than the responsibility is they become part of your family and you want what's best for them. When it's just an object outside, if something happens to this dog, we'll just get another one. And I believe the perception of what a dog is a little skewed. And I think that's why a lot of the dogs, especially end up in Clayton County, is people see the dog on TV. They want that dog on the TV. They don't really understand what goes into getting a dog like that. They go, you know, get a dog from Walmart or something or from their buddy. The dog doesn't turn into what they want it to be, so they just bring it to the pound and get another one.
Mm. So these people are allowed to adopt another one after doing this?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of adoption? I know up here it's probably easier to adopt a child than to adopt a dog.
I don't think they're adopting them. They're not going to rescues and adopting them. They're going to their buddy who had two pit bulls and bred them, or to the friend that had this friend has a lab and this friend has a lab, so they go get one of the puppies. It's not like going to a rescue and filling out an adoption application and having your home check and, you know, your vet references checked. It's not anything like that, unfortunately.
So when people want to go in for a dog, they can just basically go in there. Is there a cost for it, an adoption fee?
If you're getting one from the pound, yes, there is an adoption fee. If you're just getting one from your buddy down the street, probably not.
Wow. And so obviously, because they're not worth whatever, in quotation marks, they're not worth anything, and they're so,
right,
like dime a dozen, probably people aren't starting out right and getting them their shots and getting them good nutrition, and probably mama didn't have the best of care and certainly wasn't on folic acid from 2 weeks prior to conception like we do with our show dogs. But, you know, it's just really sad because when the dogs are all together, I have 22 of my dogs, my Ridgebacks, but they're not all 22 there. We have a Plot Hound who was a rescue from Hinesville. I have, you know, I have a bunch of them from Clayton County. This is how we met. And I have them all, you know, all these different dogs. The dogs don't know or care what their name is, their breed is, where they came from. They're just dogs. But to see, like, a dog like Wyatt, who travels the world and has the best of everything, and he's just a sweetheart, and then see another dog who just by a mistake of birth or the luck or misfortune of birth wound up being born, you know, under a trailer. It's just so sad to see, mm-hmm, you know, these dogs just discarded. And
it
seems like it's pretty common.
It's very common, and I, like you, came from the show world, so until I got involved with Safe Harbor Animal Rescue down here, who's a client of ours, I did not realize the desperate needs of how many rescue dogs there were down here in the pounds. And so I've done everything we could do here as a clinic to help as many of them as we can. It has been an interesting, eye-opening experience, I'll put it that way.
Wow. Well, you know, you're allowed to say where you work. I think it's wonderful that the vets in the vet clinic gave you some time off today to join us on our show. Give a little bit of a shout-out.
I work at Fayetteville Animal Hospital. I work for Dr. Sherry Ray. She graduated from Auburn about 10, 12 years ago. We work in the small town of Fayetteville, Georgia, which is about 30 minutes south of Atlanta.
Wow.
And
so if you people listening... Yeah, if you people listening need a good vet, here you go. Do you have a website or a phone number that you can plug with?
We do. Our phone number is 770-461-4211, and our website is Fayetteville, FayetteVill, animal, ANIMAL, .com.
Awesome. So hopefully the people down there might be able to get a little bit of help. And yeah. Am I correct that you give a discount for rescue dogs, for rescue and shelter people? That's awesome. So you're really involved. You're not just talking about it. You're really trying to help solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. We're in the trenches. Well,
that's good. That's really good. I want to know, give me one of your greatest success stories, like a dog or an animal that maybe came in and was really on death's door and maybe something special you guys did.
We had a dog come in. We had a couple from Colorado who ended up pulling about 30 dogs from Clayton County, and they brought most of them here. And a dog named Jazzy came in. She had been in a dog fight. The officers actually found her, broke up the dog fight, and brought her to the shelter. So we sedated her to treat her wounds, and then we spayed her, and then she broke with this very strange upper respiratory autoimmune disorder, and she was bleeding from her nose and her mouth. In her eyes, and then she broke with parvo. All of this in a week.
Wow.
And it took her, the rescue unfortunately could not afford to take care of her anymore, so we took her on as a clinic because none of us could put her to sleep because she was absolutely one of the best dogs we'd ever seen.
Your clinic actually paid for this dog.
Yes, we took her on. It took her about 6 weeks to recover from everything. We started training her up here. One of our little volunteers took her home, and I actually went out to visit Jazzy last Thursday. She's fully recovered. Amazingly, she's not dog aggressive. She does well with dogs, cats, kids.
Wow.
She is a phenomenal dog, and she is a one-of-a-kind pit bull. And she's probably, of all the cases we've seen, I also saw my first ever... I always laugh at the Animal Planet shows when they say the dog has a deadly case of fleas because I'm like, I've never seen an adult dog die from fleas. We had a 68-pound, 12-year-old Labrador retriever come from Clayton County that we had to do a blood transfusion on because she had so many fleas.
Oh, my Lord. Well, you're going to have to tell us about that one in a minute when we get back from our next break. Awesome stuff. People, stay tuned for the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Do not go away.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. We're continuing on with Aaron Moore of Fayetteville Animal Clinic in Fayetteville, Georgia, who's got a really unique perspective on dogs and the dog world. I really wanted to hear the end of the Jazzy story. You were saying about you mentioned that Jazzy is doing well. How long ago was this whole situation?
She's probably, I'd probably say about 3 or 4 months ago it started.
Oh, so it's recent.
Yeah. They brought all the dogs in during the summer. So my guess is probably like May, June.
Wow.
And so Jazzy Miss Spear actually came in the other day with Jazzy, and she told me she'd been avoiding me because she knew she was just fostering the dog, but they really want to keep her and can't imagine her going anywhere else. So
that's awesome.
She's officially been adopted.
That is a great story. And, see, the great things happen. There are great people all over the country. And then
there
tell me about the deadly case of fleas.
One.
Yeah. Well, you said there was the deadly case of fleas with a dog who needed blood transfusions. Can we talk about parasites for a minute? What are the most common parasites that you guys see down there? And do those topical things you add, or, heartworm pills, do they truly protect against fleas and ticks and chiggers and all these other things?
Well, the main intestinal parasites that we see here would be hookworms, roundworms, and whipworms. We also see a pretty good amount of coccidia. Coccidia, however, is more of a protozoa as opposed to a worm. Okay? Then we see heartworms is fairly common down here. The oral medications that you give your dog every month, it does help. What people don't understand, though, is if your dog has a heavy burden of the intestinal parasites, it's not going to go in and just deworm the dog. You have to get rid of the majority of them first. If my dog or Wyatt picks up, your sporadic hookworm, yes, his monthly prevention will take care of that. Something that most people don't understand, though, is once it's in your soil, you literally have to burn your yard to kill the eggs. To get rid of them. Like, the cold doesn't kill them. The heat, just regular Georgia heat at 100 degrees, doesn't kill them.
They kill
it
the humans,
really
though.
Has to be like a fire to kill them.
Wow.
So, picking up after your dog is extremely important. The topicals that you do for fleas and ticks, again, they work. There's not a true repellent. So you're going to see a couple of them on your dog potentially. That being said, here's things that people don't generally know. Frontline, Advantix, Advantage, anything that you apply on your dog's skin works by sitting in the sebaceous glands, so the oil glands of the dog. So if you go and you bathe your dog every week and you use a shampoo that has soap in it, or a flea shampoo that a lot of people like to do, you've just stripped out all of your product. So you're not leaving anything.
So you would have to reapply it, but then you can't reapply it more than every month, can you?
Well, you can apply it up to every 3 weeks, generally. But there are soap-free shampoos. Like, we carry a really lovely one that smells like cucumber melon. Up here, it's an Allen oatmeal shampoo, but it's a soap-free shape shampoo. So you can bathe your dog in that, and it won't strip out your product.
Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting, because, if those people who are actually trying to do the right thing, and then, they're trying to take care of the dog. I didn't know that. I mean, I have Ridgebacks. They don't get fleas and ticks. I mean, unless they step on a flea or tick, there's really not a time I have them. But I definitely have seen some of the other, products and people who, who are bathing their dogs, like, every week. And I know it'll strip out the oils, but that's interesting that it'll actually strip out the product as well, so definitely don't want to do that.
Now, another option would be a product called Trifexis. And Trifexis, Sentinel, they're oral pills that do heartworms and fleas and intestinal parasites. So if you are like me and you're a neurotic bather, because I bathe my dogs every week, I have Pomeranians and a Norwegian Elkhound, so they're pretty hairy, I don't wash the product off. Because it's an internal medication. It doesn't sit in the oil glands like your topicals do.
Wow, that's good to know. See, I have Ridgebacks. I mean, they basically get bathed before the Yukonuba Championships, and they get bathed again before Westminster, and that's pretty much it. And they're clean. They're not dirty. They don't have oily coats, and they get a little scrape or something. It stays with them forever. So that's an interesting thing. Can you maybe go into that a little bit about the difference between an oilier coated breed, like maybe a Lab or an Elkhound or a German Shepherd, versus a shorter haired dog that doesn't have that kind of oils? What's the difference in the schedule, and how often is okay to bathe your dog?
Okay, well, we'll start with that. So how often is it okay to bathe your dog? Is how good are the products that you're using? So I, like you, who, you know, I have to, my dogs are clean, but they shed a lot. So I bathe them and use something called a force dryer to get out a lot of the excess coat. I use really expensive dog shampoo. And it's really good for their skin. So I can bathe my dogs reasonably once a week. I tell most clients not to bathe them more than twice a month, but to always make sure, my rule of thumb is to rinse your dog until you think it's clean, and then rinse it again to make sure you get all of the soap off your dog, because there's nothing that's going to irritate the skin more than to leave soap on your dog. So that's about, you know, I always tell people to buy a good shampoo, and if you have any questions, ask your veterinarian. They will be happy to tell you or advise you as to what shampoos you should or should not be using. Oilier dogs, like a Norwegian Elkhound, a Lab, Chesapeake Bay Retrievers, these dogs that are meant to get wet but to keep the inside of their coat dry, should not be bathed more than, you know, if they're not rolling around in mud, I probably wouldn't bathe them more than every other month, because those oils is what keeps your dog clean, but it's also what keeps their skin healthy, because they were meant to have those oils. And then you get a dog like a Maltese or a Yorkie that has a single coat and lots of extra grease. They have to be bathed more regularly because they get dirtier faster.
Ah, so it's not just that they're white. There is an actual legit reason why these dogs are getting dirtier. It's not that you're just seeing the dirt. It's that the coat is oily and doesn't have a way of relieving the oil or releasing the oil. So then it kind of just sticks to it, kind of like if you get a massage and you have the massage oil and then you notice you kind of like got dirt on you that you didn't have before, because I guess it's sticking to you. Well, that's really, really good advice. In your opinion and in your experience with shelter dogs and these kind of dogs, what are the most common things that people do wrong with them? Like, obviously, keep your dog inside, but what are some other things, like people, the quality of food? We talk about this all the time, don't buy cheap dog food. But can you explain a little bit about why maybe some dogs have more problems than others? Just, you know, even regular dogs, some seem very healthy and some, you know, seem like they have a lot of issues. Any ideas?
A lot of people like to say it's your purebred versus your mutt, which, working in a veterinary practice for 16 years, I can totally tell you that's not true. I see just as many mixed breed dogs with as many problems, and it really, I think it just boils down to genetics. Just like people, you end up with some people that never have a single problem in your life, and you have other people that have diabetes and joint replacements and have bad hips and bad knees. You know, I think the more your dog, what your dog can put out is as good as what you're going to put into it. So I always tell people to feed the most expensive quality dog food you can afford. But exercise is extremely important, and I think it's falling to the wayside. And people, we are diagnosing diabetic dogs probably 1 to 2, sometimes even 3 or 4 a month, because dogs are just as overweight as the people are nowadays.
Ooh, you're getting into personal things there. We're going to have to talk a little bit about that in the next segment, if you can stay just for a few minutes.
Sure.
Thank you. Hang on, people. Do not go away. We've got more great stuff with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Hang in there.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today's guest, Aaron Moore from Fayetteville Animal Clinic. If you're in that area, you definitely want to go in there and see Aaron. And if you do want to rescue a dog, I think you'll get a nice discount. Coming out from the shelter, they will help you out. These are people who are doing it for the right reason. They're not the people like we have up here that shall be remaining nameless in this show who, you know, $2,000 and your dog's been there for, you know, 4 hours. These people down here at Fayetteville, they are really interested in taking care of the dogs and doing the right thing. Aaron, you started to talk about some things before the last segment, with what kind of issues seem to be, you know, with genetics versus mm-hmm. the care. And we always on our show do talk about nutrition and avoiding mm-hmm. the, you know, corn, wheat, soy, mm-hmm. avoiding BHA and BHT and byproducts. Propylene glycol, which is a component of antifreeze. That's actually what makes the antifreeze sweet. That's mm-hmm. why dogs like to lick it, because of the propylene glycol. They actually put that. Also, it's just back in drink drops for humans. Can't even believe it. But what are some, without going into specific brands, what are some good kind of things for people to include in their dog food? Is it okay, I love when people say, to give a dog people food?
Well, of course it is. You know, it really depends on the dog, though. You know, we see a lot of little dogs that are prone to pancreatitis, so obviously they shouldn't be getting any type of table food that has a higher content of fat, because that'll stress their pancreas out. I feed my dogs all sorts of raw vegetables. If we're making a salad from our garden, my dogs get cucumbers and squash and lettuce and apples, as long as it doesn't have a peel on it, because they don't like the peel part. I don't think that's a health problem. I think it's a dog problem. My carrots, baby carrots, is my Norwegian Elkhound, Elkhounds tend to be on the chunky side, so he gets a lot of carrots as opposed to dog treats. People food is not bad. Now, obviously, nothing fried, no bones, no cooked bones ever, like rib bones that people like to give their dogs.
Because they splinter people, And you know, Aaron, that's great that you brought that up. One of the things is when people say, oh, you know, my dog loves that, you know, marrow bone. And if you take a hammer and try to break that marrow bone on your tile floor, you'll break your tile floor. You'll break the handle to your hammer. But you know what? The bone will be totally fine. All you're doing is letting your dog wear his teeth down on that. Get him mm-hmm. the knuckle bones, the bones that are from the joints, and let them have it raw. Don't, you know, if you have little kids around, then let the dog have it inside his crate or, you know, outside, since it seems like a lot of you southern folks are liking to keep your dogs outside.
Mm-hmm.
But really, do the right thing for your dog. Aaron, give us a couple of kind of closing things of what you think are important things for people listening to do for their dogs at this time of the year.
Oh, at this time of the year. Just remember, if you know, down here it doesn't get very cold, but up by you guys, if it's too cold for you to be outside without a jacket on and gloves and a hat and rain boots or snow boots, it's probably too cold for your dog. Their little feet they're better at handling it than ours are, you know, barefooted, but keep them inside. Make sure if they are outside that they have a good warm dog house to stay in and that they can get out of the elements. Make sure they have good food, and always, always, always have fresh water. But it is important to think during this really, really cold time, watch their ears if they are outside, because, you know, they can get frostbite, and then you end up losing ears or tails and sometimes even toes. I wish people would stop thinking of a dog as just a dog. They are dogs. They are fairly sturdy, but they are just a living being, and they are not invincible. And they
right.
do need to be taken care of.
And you know, that's just so important. And, you know, I just really want to thank you and love to have you on a future show as well, because I think you have some great stuff that, you know, that people really need to focus on. It's just, I think people don't understand, you know, certain areas of the country, Texas as well. You know, they mm-hmm. just don't understand. They don't, They don't have hearts. They just look at the dogs as dogs, and maybe that's the way they were raised. Maybe that's how, you know, pit bull fighting started. Maybe, you know, these people who don't really have any respect or reverence for life, so they don't care if it's a human life and they don't care if it's a dog. But, you know, I have one thing I want to tell everybody. Be really careful about if you do give your dog up, if you have to, try to find a private owner and make sure you go to that person's house. Have them sign a contract that says that they, you know, they are going to be having this dog in the house, they're going to be taking care of it, and if they need to give the dog up for any reason, that they will call you. That way, you know, not that it guarantees it, but a lot of times, and if you charge a rehoming fee of any sort, sometimes that's a great thing because the dogs won't wind up in pit bull fights. I had actually spoken with a lady down in Maryland not that long ago, and this woman was, I mean, really, you know, well-meaning, but a little off the deep end. And she kept saying, you know, sign the petition, sign this petition. You shouldn't allow people, you know, to buy a dog from a pet store, and you shouldn't allow them to buy the dog from a pet store unless they can prove they can take care of it, because people can be buying dogs at a pet store and using them for bait dogs as pit bull fights. And I kind of like,
they just spent that much money on it.
Exactly. I said, ma'am, people aren't going to go spend $2,000 or $3,000 or even $1,500 or even $1,000 on a dog to use as a pit bull dog. They're going to go steal somebody's dog in the neighborhood. That's why you got to keep an eye on your dog. Or they're going to go on the Craigslist or these other places. Mm-hmm. They're going to get something free, or they're going to get a $10 dog. So she thought better, and she said, geez, ma'am, maybe you're right. But it's the point is, have responsibility. You know, I had one of my most memorable clients was this really sweet lady, not the brightest, though. Definitely, you know, should not have been procreating because it's scary. But nonetheless, so she said, oh, well, you know, I need to get rid of this dog because it pees in my house. And she said, and, you know, it's really making a mess. And, you know, you can understand that on one level. But she's got a special needs child. And I said, ma'am, if your child, if your son wet the bed, would you get rid of him and go get another one? And she said, well, of course not. I said, so why would you get rid of your dog? Well, that's only a dog, though. That's the problem. That's what Aaron was saying. That's what we talk about. It's not just a dog. It's a living being. It's not even a spider. It's not something with a lifespan of 24 hours like a mayfly. It's a living being, and they deserve to have our respect. They deserve to have our love and our caring. And if you can't take care of one the right way, don't get one. And for God's sake, please, people, spay and neuter, unless you have a top 10 show dog and you're planning to breed to better your breed, to make a better, longer living, better temperament of your specific breed, pure breed, please don't breed. Don't breed designer dogs. Don't want to, you know, don't go and breed because, wow, you know, I want my kids to see the joy of birth. If you really want your kids to see the joy of birth, go get pregnant, have another baby, and videotape it so your kids can see the joy of birth. But please don't bring more animals into this country, into this world, into the conditions that unfortunately exist. Well, enough of my tirade for today. Aaron Moore from Fayetteville Animal Clinic, thank you so much. And we look forward to having you in a future show. For Janice Wolf and Wyatt Ridgeback and United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, have a wonderful, healthy, happy week. We look forward to seeing you again next week, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Have a wonderful day.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog